This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
اللهم صل الحمد لله الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم فملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم العجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألا تقاتلون قوما نكثوا أيمانهم وهموا بإخراج الرسول وهم بدأوكم أول مرة أتخشونهم فالله أحق أن تخشوه إن كنتم مؤمنين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. The mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was almost completed. We're talking about the last year or the last 2 years of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and most of the Quran has been revealed by this time. And there are two large surahs of the Quran that are revealed almost at the same time. One of them is Surah At-Tawbah, and the other one is Surah Al-Ma'idah. This is Surah number 5 and Surah number 9 of the Quran. Ma'idah is 5 and At-Tawbah is 9. So what they have in common, both of these surahs, is that they came almost at the end of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are some very significant differences between these two surahs. And it's very important to understand that at some places in these surahs have an opposite message. One surah is saying one thing, the other surah is saying the opposite. And we have to understand why that is. Because without understanding that, we miss out on some very key wisdom of the Quran, especially the farewell address of the Quran. In a sense, you could think that these two surahs are the Quran's final message. The final message of the final message, right? That's how you can think of it. So in a short khutbah of 20 minutes, we can't even begin to translate these surahs, but I want to give you an overview. And as an assignment for every Muslim, we should be doing a serious reading and study, whatever you can do, of both of these surahs to try to make sense of what I'm saying, inshallah ta'ala, and further your own knowledge. Because we should all be actively trying to understand Allah's book better. The first thing I'll start by saying is that Allah has a sunnah. Allah has a way of doing things. In an easy language, you can say there's a pattern in behavior. So if someone does the same thing over and over again and they have the same kind of way of dealing with something, you can actually call that a sunnah. You can call that a consistent behavior, a habit. So Allah describes even, there's a sunnah of Allah. Even Allah has a sunnah. So for example, in the creation of Allah, Allah has a sunnah. He creates things with purpose and with beauty. So He doesn't just make things purposeful, He also makes them beautiful. He didn't have to make our food like an orange has a purpose. It has certain nutrients, it has certain, you know, vitamins, etc. that it gives you, but it didn't have to be beautiful. It could have looked like an insect. It could have looked like mud, right? But it looks beautiful and it has a beautiful texture and color. So Allah doesn't just create with purpose, He also creates with beauty. And that's an example of a sunnah of Allah. Similarly, Allah has a sunnah of Allah in how He deals with criminal nations. Not just a criminal individual, a criminal nation. And there are different levels of criminals and there are different levels of criminal nations. But particularly when Allah sends a prophet, and He sent many of them, if He sends a prophet to a nation, and that nation becomes even worse criminals than before, instead of getting better, they get worse, then Allah in the Quran describes that He has a sunnah of how to deal with them. Allah has a sunnah of how He dealt with the people of Nuh alayhi salam, and Lut alayhi salam, and Salih alayhi salam, and Shu'aib alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam, etc. Over and over again, and Allah is showing you this is the sunnah of Allah. When a nation does this with a prophet, they pay the price. And the sunnah is they have to pay the price two times. Once in this life, then in the next life. For an individual, you and I, you could commit crimes and look like a good life. It looks like the person never paid a single price. And they will only pay in the akhirah. They will pay in the, it's possible. But when a nation defies a messenger of Allah, and the messenger is among them, he lives among them, he's giving da'wah to them, then Allah makes that nation pay in this life, and then He makes them pay again in the next life. That is the sunnah of Allah. It is consistent over and over and over again in the Quran. Allah established that sunnah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two groups of people that defied him. In fact, three groups of people. The first group of people was the majority of the people in Mecca who fought against him, who humiliated him, who tried to kick him, who tried to kill him. And because of him, he had to leave Mecca. These people were not different than the people of Nuh alayhi salam. They're not different from the people of Salih or Shu'aib or anybody else. That's why the Quran keeps comparing the people of Mecca to all of those people. So they've done the same crime as all those other nations, which means there should be the same kind of punishment. Something should happen to them that happened all the times before. Then there's another group of people, the people of the book. There were tribes in Medina that made a treaty with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jewish tribes. And even though they made a treaty, behind the scenes they tried to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ, poison the Prophet ﷺ, secretly work with the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ, etc., etc., etc. So there's the direct enemy in Mecca, and there's the indirect enemy in Medina. And then on top of that, there were the munafiqun, even people who claimed to be Muslim, and they were trying to sabotage the Prophet ﷺ from the inside, from within the Muslims. So there's three kinds of enemies for the Prophet ﷺ in the seerah. But at the end of the day, Allah has a sunnah. When you defy a messenger of Allah, and that messenger is among you, then before this life is over, before that nation cycle is over, that nation will have to pay in this life, then again pay in the next life. That's going to have to happen. So to describe what should that punishment be, because it's not going to be a flood like Nuh alayhi salam. It's not going to be an earthquake or fire from the sky. That's not going to happen. That punishment is actually Surah At-Tawbah. I told you two surahs were revealed at the end of the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. Those groups of people, the mushrikun, what should be their punishment in this life? The people of the book who broke the treaty, what should be their punishment in this life? The munafiqun, what should be their punishment in this life? All three punishments with a great description of their crimes, completely outlined in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9. There's no surprise, it doesn't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's not its purpose. The purpose of the surah is to describe punishment. Allah has the doors of rahmah open, the doors of mercy and love and forgiveness open all the time. For the people of Nuh alayhi salam, for 949.999 years, the doors were open. And then one day Allah closed those doors and the water started coming. The same way the Quran is a book of Allah's rahmah for all of humanity. But for the criminals against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah At-Tawbah gave them their final punishment. And even then Allah gave more rahmah than he ever gave to any other nation before. But that is the purpose of Surah At-Tawbah. So, the first challenge in understanding Surah At-Tawbah is that it is not the foreign policy of Islam. You have different places in the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah is saying, when you find the mushrikeen, kill them wherever you find them, for example. Kill them wherever you find them. That is mentioned. It's politically incorrect. It sounds very, it's not good for an interfaith meeting, right? And some pastor will come and say, well, your book says kill them wherever you find them. What do you say about that? Well, it's the same as what Noah was given. And when the nations were smitten in biblical times of biblical prophets, it's the continuation of the same legacy. That's not talking about now or today or tomorrow. It's not saying to the Muslims when they reach India and there are mushrikeen there, kill them wherever you find them. It's not what it's saying. And that didn't happen because the Muslims understood something. This was not, Surah At-Tawbah was not the foreign policy of Islam. Surah At-Tawbah was the completion of the Prophet's mission, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the final punishments to those criminals who were criminals against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was still alive. Those criminals have to pay a price. And there are different degrees of crime, so there are different degrees of punishment. All of them are outlined in Surah At-Tawbah. But I told you at the end of the seerah, there are two surahs that were revealed. One was Surah At-Tawbah, and the other was Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5. And what's interesting about Surah Al-Ma'idah is, the same people that Allah is talking about punishing, for example, the people of the book in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah says, حَتَّى يُعْطُوا الْجِزْيَ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. I'll give you one example. They fought you, they were treacherous among you, now they have to pay a penalty, al-jizya. And, وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ, and they have to be humiliated. الصَّاغِر فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْخِزِي أَصْلًا. Right? The صَاغِر in the Qur'an is someone who's مَخْزِي, he's been humiliated. So you have to not, they don't just have to pay jizya, they have to be humiliated because they tried to humiliate the Prophet ﷺ. They tried to make poetry against him, slander against him, accusations against him. Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal, the punishment fits the crime. You did this, that's what you're going to pay. So now for the people of the book, the Jewish tribes, there was a punishment of taxation and jizya and humiliation. But then the Muslims were expanding. Mecca was conquered. The Muslims were expanding. Now we went into Roman territory, Persian territory, and we came into contact majority with the Christian people, but also Jewish people. And now Allah is saying in Surah Al-Ma'idah, we're not talking about Tawbah anymore, we're talking about Al-Ma'idah. Allah now says, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ. The food of those who were given the book before you is permissible for you. وَطَعَامُكُمْ, this is interesting, وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ. And your food is permissible for them. I'm not here to give you a khutbah about McDonald's and Burger King and whether you can go eat there or not. I'm trying to tell you what happened in the seerah. What happened in the early Quran? The final chapters of the Quran. Allah was telling us that you are Muslims are going to expand into Roman territory, Byzantine territory, Christian territory, where some Jewish communities will be there too. And when you go there, the policy in Mecca was what? They will be humiliated, right? What's the policy now? If they offer you food, what should you do? Eat with them. And in fact, not just that you eat with them, you should invite them to your house, because the next part of the ayah says, your food is halal for them. Your food is permissible for them. This is go to each other's houses, eat with each other. And then in the same vein, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah will also mention, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Cooperate with each other in good things. In fact, he even says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَنْ صَدُّكُمْ عَنِ الْمَشْدِ الْحَرَامِ أَنْ تَعْتَدُوا وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. He says, those people who tried to stop you from entering the haram before, don't let that animosity get to you. Cooperate in good things. So while Surah Al-Tawbah is talking about punishment, Surah Al-Ma'idah is talking about cooperation. Surah Al-Tawbah is talking about humiliating them. Surah Al-Ma'idah is talking about inviting them over for dinner. How do you humiliate someone and invite them over for dinner? How does that work? Different policy. There's one nation, one group of people that deserved Allah's punishment and humiliation. That's been dealt with Surah At-Tawbah. And the rahmah of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, that he did not mention Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Surah At-Tawbah. And many Muslims read that and wonder what's going on. This was the last time Allah closed the doors of rahmah in the history of the world. From then on, for every other nation and every other group and every other generation, rahmatan lil alameen. And so Surah Al-Ma'idah, of course, begins with the basmala. Of course it tells us to interact and engage with people. Muslims understood this, even if they didn't study the Quran, they understood this as a people. So if you travel around the Muslim world, Muslims don't all look the same. We don't eat the same kind of food, we don't dress the same. The Uyghur Muslims are very different. The Turkish Muslims are very different. The Albanians are different. When you travel to Bangladesh, Islam looks very different. You know, there's a cultural flavor to the Muslims in Sri Lanka that you don't find in Malaysia, etc. Why though? Because when they went to these places, these different places, the food was different, the clothing was different, the festivals were different, right? And Muslims didn't say, Yastaghfirullah, this is a kafir society. We cannot look like them. We cannot eat like them. We cannot talk like them. We need to create an environment where we create a masjid and we create some neighborhood where the Muslims stay together and look the same and talk the same, and the kuffar are on the outside and us Muslims are in this little bubble on the inside. That didn't happen in the history of Islam. It didn't happen. But it did happen in many parts of Europe after colonization and in the last century. And it also certainly happened in many places in the United States and England and Australia and other places where for a long time Muslims came and said, this is a kafir society, this is fitna, this is haram, these people are going to ruin your Islam because our Islam has to do with the food we eat, the clothes we wear, right? This is going to just take it all away, and so we shouldn't engage with the outside world. We shouldn't invite them over. We shouldn't go over their house. We need to protect our deen. We need to protect our deen. Allah is more protective of our deen than you and I. And Allah was preparing us at the end of the seerah for not having the Prophet among us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah knew that for the most part, we are going to be, on a large scale, we are going to be engaged with the Christian people because they're a much bigger population. So in one of the last surahs to be revealed, Allah gave us an exhaustive foreign policy, an engagement policy on how do you live and travel among these people and engage among these people while also holding on to your religion. And all of that was Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah. But what happens when we don't understand this? In practicality, in the last couple of minutes I'll tell you. What happens is you have a community where you say, yes, we're living in London somewhere, we're living in New York or Chicago or Dallas or wherever, but you know, I want to just protect my children, I want to protect myself, I'm just going to stay in this little circle of the halal chicken shop and the masjid and the halal everything, right? I want to just, because you know, you have to protect yourself from fitna. And when you do that, the problem is, أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا, first and foremost, you can protect yourself and your children from fitna all you want. The device you have in your hand, doesn't matter how many walls you build, the device already broke through all those walls. You're already living in the outside world virtually. You're engaged with all those ideas that you were afraid to engage in. By the way, when Allah says cooperate in good things, how do you cooperate with someone you don't agree with? If I'm going to cooperate with a Christian who I don't agree with on many things, first I have to understand everything about them, and then I find common ground which we both agree is good, and then I cooperate, right? Which means I had to engage with them to understand not only what we have in common, but also what we have that's different, and to be able to have that cooperation. Otherwise, I can never live by that ayah. It's not possible. It's not possible. So it's not like, don't learn from anybody else. Oh, these kafir universities, these kafir, you know, people, these their ideas, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, and you keep protecting yourself. What happens to a young person? The price is paid by the next generation. They start living in two realities. A reality in which the only way to be Islamic is to wear a thob. The only way to be Islamic is to use certain kind of language. That's Islam. That's what Islam looks like. You could tell from a distance, this kid on the deen. Look at that thob. Because I don't see a thob in Albania. They've been Muslim for 500 years, 700 years. Their Islam's pretty old. I went to an 800-year-old masjid there. But I don't see anybody trying to look like an Arab. Because Islam wasn't about Arabs. Islam was a message for all of humanity. There's pretty religious people in Pakistan, India, Bangladesh. Not everybody's trying to sound like an Arab and talk like an Arab. Because Islam came and it permeated societies, adapted in societies, and still thrived. It didn't just survive, it thrived. It thrived. It wasn't about an ethnicity, it wasn't about a culture. But when we do this to our kids and say, no, this is what Islamic looks like. In fact, Ramadan is coming, change your outfit. Because you get to have your dunya outfit 11 months of the year. Now you got to have your deen outfit. Right? Because those are two separate things. Then what we're creating is this pull, as if to say, outside these walls and outside this community, there's the others, and this is us versus them. Us versus them. There's no cooperation, there's no us and them, there's only us versus them. And you create this constant pull in these young people. And eventually, they will either pull all the way this way or all the way this way. If they pull all the way towards your own community, they will hate, they will live in the West, they'll live in whatever country, but they'll hate that country at the same time. They'll live in it and hate it. They'll live in it and never want anything to become better in the place that they live. Islam, wherever it goes, it brings khair. But they don't want to bring khair. They'll be happy to see the success of their own country that they live in. Or be happy to see the failure of their own country because they developed a hatred for the land in which they live. A vice, like a visceral hatred. And on the other side, they snap and say, you know what, this Islam thing is causing too much stress. I can't do this Islam thing, bro. Let me just breathe. Let me just live, man. And not only does the thob come off and the kufi come off, then the prohibition of alcohol also comes off. And the other restrictions, everything comes off. So we go from one extreme to the other because our deen is not one that makes us isolated one way or the other. Our deen navigates this world, engages in this world. Look at the ayat of the Quran, and inshallah, I just have one more minute left, so I'll tell you, there's so many ayat of the Quran that teaches this profound lesson. The only time people hid away from society or separated themselves from a larger, non-believing society is when their life was in danger. Ashabul Kahf went into a cave because their life was in danger. Ibrahim alayhi salam left home because his life was in danger. Otherwise, they remained in their societies. They understood their societies. They talk to their societies. When every prophet says, Ya Qawmi, he's not just saying my people, he's saying I understand you people. I understand how you do business. I understand how you run your families. I know everything about you. He's engaged with them. And the incredible thing, the last incredible thing that I think one should never forget about Islam, the history of Islam and the good people that we follow, the role models that we follow that Allah honored in the Quran. right? The people that we follow. The vast majority of them were believers as a minority. The vast majority. Nuh alayhi salam and his followers are a minority. Ibrahim alayhi salam is always a minority. Ashabul Kahf are just a bunch of young men, they're a minority. With the exception of a handful of prophets who had power, the vast majority of the time, the role models Allah gives us are people that are living in a society where the larger society doesn't believe what they believe. And they don't leave. They remain. They remain. This is the message of engagement. If Muslims knew that we are supposed to bring the beauty of Islam to every part of a society, embed ourselves, every part of a society, you know the world would look very different even in 50 years. Even in 50 years. Because if we were the best public school teachers, the Muslims, if we were the best, not just doctors, because doctors we got covered, we're okay on that front. But if we were the best in every walk of life, we were the best neighbors. There are people that live in a really nice neighborhood and your neighbors don't know you for 20 years. They have no idea. There are places in the United States, Canada, England, etc. There's a mosque, and the only thing people know about that mosque is on Friday, people drive in my park, in my driveway. That's all they know. They don't know anything else. And our solution? Let's just buy all those houses and let Muslims live there. Why even deal with these people? Ah, these kuffar are angry at us again. They were supposed to know about our religion through us embedding ourselves in these societies. Allah told us, even before He told us to go make da'wah to those societies, He said, eat with them. The ayat of da'wah are later in Surah Al-Ma'idah. The ayat of eating with them is first, right in the opening. And before even eating with them, the first thing Allah said, I know I've taken over my time, I promise I'm done. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, awfu bil'uqood. First thing Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that is the foreign policy of Islam, foreign policy of the Summa. Believers, fulfill contracts. Keep up with promises. Keep up with agreements. If you're a business, you're not going to change the deadline without a penalty. If you're borrowing money, you're the one that's going to pay back on time. If you're engaged in a business transaction, you're not going to be the one that's going to shortchange your partner. If you're the seller, you're not going to shortchange your customer. You are going to do business with more honesty than anybody else, because the moment we engaged outside, the first thing Allah told us, before He even told us what kind of food we should eat, because that's the rest of the ayah, He said, "Awfu bil uqud," fulfill contracts. That will speak for Islam more than any da'wah, any speech, anything else. People will just know, oh, reliable people? Oh, I got to go to a Muslim. Even non-Muslims will say, As-Sadiq and Al-Amin are the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's what they'll say. If we get there, then we don't have to worry about what the pundits are saying and what the anti-Islamophobes are saying and what racism is coming and why nobody listens to our protests, etc. Because the people that benefit from our honesty and our integrity, the entire society, they will be screaming for us while we're quiet. They'll be the ones standing for us. That's the wisdom that Allah gave us. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us a nation that is ready to embody that wisdom, and we prepare our next generations not to hide from society, but to actually engage and challenge and benefit the society in which they are a part. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. قم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استقيموا يرحمكم الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.